Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How many times that happened? It sounds like it happened a lot.
It did.
That's a rough one, bro.
It did, bro.
She ended up always coming, didn't
but
she?
But it was always right there at 6 o'clock.
Don't worry, but she got there.
It was always, I mean, who knows what could have happened if that 6 o'clock time comes and passed. Like, what do I just go to an orphanage? Like, what happens to me? But anyway, you're right. It never happened. So, anyway, Mark Giannotto on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We're back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And every Wednesday at this time, we talk to Mark Giannotto. We talk to Mark Giannotto now.
It's commercial appeal sports columnist Mark Giannotto, live with Jason and John on 92.9 FM, ESPN, and 680 AM.
Mark, what's going on, brother?
Not much. How are you, John?
We're good. And I'm sure Mike appreciates you letting him down easy today in the commercial appeal. You sort of broke the news to Mike that, I appreciate that you want to go to a championship contender, but you're not going. And I appreciate you letting him down easy because I think sensitivity is important here, and I think you displayed that today.
Yeah, I don't know about letting him down easy. It's just a reality, I think, for him. I think we all want what's best for the Grizzlies and what's best for Mike. Like, you hope it works out like it did with Marc Gasol, where the best trade available happens to be to a really good team. But it feels like that was more the exception than the rule. Like, I just feel like the Grizzlies can't be going into the offseason thinking that way. They just have to. I mean, and quite frankly, if they don't convey the pick, mm-hmm. you know, unless you're blown away by an offer, I don't know if it makes a lot of sense to trade Mike Conley. And, like, I just think, I know it might be a little uncomfortable given what he's said in recent weeks, but at the same time, I just don't buy that he's too classy to pull an Anthony Davis and just be like a villain. Like, it's just not in his DNA. And for better or worse, that plays to the Grizzlies' advantage here, because I think Mike will be a pro if he's back next year, and so that gives it. I mean, the Grizzlies just have some options here, whereas Mike, you know, unfortunately, I guess for him, does not. But at the same time, you know, he's the one who decided to sign a 5-year, $153 million contract right. 3 years ago, and he kind of, you know, he. If he wanted to have more leverage, he could have signed the type of deal LeBron James and Kevin Durant do. But he wisely, I would say, signed the most lucrative free agent contract in NBA history 3 years ago. And this is just part of what happens. I mean, the leverage Mike has is he can invoke the early termination clause in his contract. That could force the Grizzlies' hand. But it would also force Mike to forfeit more than $34 million at the end of the deal. So it's an interesting situation, but I just think he's so important to the Grizzlies' rebuilding efforts. Just because he appears to be the one piece that they're willing to trade. And so the return they get for him is going to set the foundation of what you're going to do in terms of remaking this roster long term. And so it's just too important. The decision is too important to just make it, you know, with his emotions, with his emotions as kind of a leading reason for making the deal. Like, you know, you want him to play for a contender, but, you know, like I said in the column, if the Phoenix Suns offer the best deal, you're trading him to the Phoenix Suns, in my opinion.
I'm with you, Mark, all the way, that the Grizzlies have got all the leverage, and I'm with you that, you know, when it comes to trading him, you put your own needs over Mike Conley's needs. But I wonder, though, and you talked about bringing him back and, you know, the possibility of that and sort of where he's at. And he's always been the high road guy, just like you said. But I wonder if he hasn't drawn that line. I wonder if he doesn't pull a – I know, what would you do? You just got to sit out because they've got you under contract. But it feels to me like he – I know he's checked out mentally. And I know we've got the, you know, sort of the history of him taking the high road, but it feels like he's drawn the line. Don't you think so? Like he's moved on.
The thing that makes me think he, you know, because even on last Thursday, as he's saying all these things, like
he was still uncomfortable.
You know, he chose not to be very direct and say, "I want out of here." Like he said it in a Mike Conley way, I guess, like, you know, very, you know, sort of beating around the bush. But to me, the way to do that is go into those exit interviews and say, "Listen, I want to be traded this offseason."
Yeah, like, still
hasn't
done
that. That's what Anthony Davis did, essentially. He said, "I want to be traded," you know, and Mike didn't do that. And, you know, while he did make it clear, you know, he basically said, "I don't want to be part of a rebuilding effort," but, like, the Grizzlies can probably spin it if they, you know, if they bring Jonas Valanciunas back and they bring DeLon Wright back, they can probably spin it enough to say, "Hey, we think we can be competitive and compete for a playoff spot next year," whether that's accurate or not. They can probably spin that. And so I think there's enough to keep him engaged. You know, and again, it'll still probably be a little awkward, you know, in that, you know, clearly Mike wants to be somewhere else. But I think he cares a lot about how
he's viewed.
I don't think if he you know, put his foot down and, like, you know, said he wasn't going to play, like, I don't think it would affect how we remember him long-term here in Memphis, but I do think it would change things in the short term, just in terms of, you know, how he's viewed. And I think it would be polarizing, because I think there would be a lot of people who would say, you know what, he's justified doing this. He's done so much for this franchise, and this franchise hasn't really repaid him other than financially. They haven't repaid him, especially recently, in terms of putting the right pieces around him and running a coherent sort of front office. But at the same time, again, he's being paid $32 million by the Memphis Grizzlies and next year, and $34 million the year after that. And, like, to me, you know, it would be out of character for him to do that, and I think it would affect how some people view him.
Yeah, and we know
if he put up a stink like that. And that's why, and I think he's too classy to do it. I think he's too good of, I think he cares too much about Memphis and how Memphis perceives him to do it. I think the Grizzlies feel that way also. I think they feel that if they bring him back, while he may not be happy, he'll be a pro.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
he always has been.
We are, of course, talking to Mark Giannotto, sports columnist for the Commercial Appeal. Joins us every single Wednesday here on the show. You obviously got a chance to spend a little time with the front office, Zach Kleiman and Jason Wexler, and I'm sure you knew Jason Wexler from his previous role. But, you know, just sort of what was your takeaway and your sense, you know, from being around them and listening to them? Did you get the sense that, man, these guys are brilliant and this is going to work? Do you have the opposite? I'm just curious. What's your takeaway was from your time?
Yeah, I'm not sure one way or the other whether it'll work or whether it won't work. The thing, honestly, that struck me, and I didn't really write about this, but, you know, the thing that kind of sticks with me is, like, they're talking about how they're going to change just the process of how they do things and and they're going to be more proactive instead of reactive. And I asked Jason Wexler and Zach this as a follow-up. I said, you know, it's not like you guys weren't here before. Like, why didn't you institute this, you know, last year? I mean, it's not like, you know, I know they weren't the lead executives, but they were in the front office. Why wasn't this instituted now? And they kind of, you know, they kind of chafed at that follow-up. They're like, well, this is why these changes have been made. And essentially, it's different now that they've been in power. But I just wonder, with both of them, you know, essentially they're saying they're going to change everything, but most of the faces in that front office are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder how much things are going to change. And the other thing that struck me is just how, you know, it's all such an unknown. I mean, like Zach Kleiman is I'm pretty young and he's 3 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you ask him about, you know, how do you evaluate players and things like that, you know, like they were just very vague the entire, you know, it was nice that they talked to us. And, you know, we got some answers, but it was all just very vague. And I don't think, and this goes back to the Conley thing, like, I don't think we're going to really know much about these guys until we see some of the decisions they make. It'll start with the, you know, who they hire in to help them in the front office, you know, in terms of, because I just think they need a seasoned front office executive helping them. And then it'll go on to who they hire as a coach, and then it'll move on. And to me, the most important decision is what they decide to do with Mike Conley. And so, you know, I think I feel like there's going to be no in between. It's either going to work really well, or it's going to be, you know, kind of a disaster, because essentially you have a 30-year-old attorney and who's, you know, been in player personnel for maybe a year or two tops, and you know, real estate developer who, you know, ran the business side, and you know, it's a business side that, while it's, you know, it's been better, I guess, the last 2 years than the playing side, you know, they're still, like, in terms of revenue, the Grizzlies rank, you know, near the bottom of the NBA. And so when you put it like that, it just seems like an enormous risk, given the point we're at with the franchise. But it's also a sign of, you know, who the owner is. I don't think Robert Pera wants a front office executive who wants a decision-making autonomy.
Right.
And now he has a front office with a team president who is, you know, very clearly connected to him and Wexler. And I think it's good that Wexler has been empowered to maybe hopefully speak on behalf of Pera more, given that we it's obvious Robert Pera doesn't want to speak publicly very much. And then you've got a 30-year-old executive who I think Pera can, you know, Pera wants to be involved in the decision-making. This is, in a lot of ways, to me, I view it as like he views this as kind of his fantasy team in some ways, and he wants to be involved in picking the players on his team. And having a 30-year-old who's, you know, hasn't been in player personnel very much, you know, it's not someone who's going to demand, you know, autonomy in the decision-making process.
Mark, I thought with having a day, an extra day, really, essentially, to prepare, because the first day you march Chris Wallace and JB out there, that we would get more of a vision, a basketball vision, particularly after having some time to prepare for it, that when they got with you on Friday, reading others, that there would be more of that laid out. And like you said, there's a lot of talk about process and how we're going to streamline things and how it'll be, you know, we'll plan more than as was, you know, the case before us. Isn't that important? Did you expect to hear a little more with these guys and the fact that they are so inexperienced on the basketball side? Were you know, and that's okay with me? Shouldn't it be important to them to get the vision out to fans who fundamentally want to believe right now that you're going in the right direction, right? But it feels like a sort of, hey, we'll show you with our moves. How important is that to lay out a vision, and did you feel like that was sort of missing last week?
Yeah, I think I would have liked to have heard more specifics.
Yeah.
You know, like when I asked Kleiman about Mike Conley, he just said, "Yeah, it's premature to discuss what we're going to do about Mike this summer." And when we asked him, you know, are you planning to bring back most of the roster that came back? And he said similar thing, like, you know, well, we'll see what happens.
We got
and,
nothing.
You know, but we really like these guys.
Yep.
And so, yeah, no, I do think so. And I know, like, you know, part of it is, you know, because we don't know what's going to happen with this draft pick yet.
Right.
But
something. Man.
At the same time, this one draft pick shouldn't necessarily, unless it's Zion, to me, it doesn't really change that much the trajectory of the team. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, and I just feel like part of the problem with Chris Wallace is that there was no plan beyond the next move. And
right.
That's what it feels right now. It feels, and maybe it's just because they're starting out, it doesn't feel like they know what the plan is yet.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know,
you're still waiting.
Knows, maybe they'll surprise us. You know, like we won't care about this if Kleiman goes and knocks this offseason out of
no
the
doubt.
Park.
No doubt.
You know, like this won't matter in retrospect. We're like, oh, well, he's just a guy who keeps his cards close to the vest. And you know, so like, yes, it was disappointing, I guess, in a way, but at the same time, let's see what they do this offseason. And I think they realize and they know, because they're so unproven, especially Zach, that you know, we are going to form opinions on them over the next what they do between now and July and how they put together this team. And it's going to be opinions that, you know, it will shape how we view them moving forward.
No question. In your opinion, Mark, does the WGC event in Memphis, does it depend on Tiger being in it?
I don't know if it depends on Tiger being in it. Like, I've covered events Tiger's been in back in the D.C. area. His tournament used to be there every year. And I will say, like, it's just what it will do is, I think there will be big crowds at the WGC. They'll just be ginormous if Tiger's there. You know, like, mm-hmm. His presence, like, doubles a crowd almost, it feels like. And, like, you think the galleries were big for Phil Mickelson when he's here each year. Like, you know, like, when I used to cover Tiger's events, it'd be like, I'd wonder why people were following him around, because you couldn't see him. It was so deep, like 12 to 15 people deep all around him. And so I don't think the success of the event depends on him, but I do think – it will just, I mean, you'll just get a type of fan that just won't come out if he's not there. And so I hope he comes. And I don't know what to think in terms of, you know, there's signs that say, you know, he won't come, and that he, like, rarely plays the week after a major. And he sort of has indicated he's going to play very sporadically the rest of the year
right. Outside
of the majors. But at the same time, he always plays the WGC event.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be interesting to me how this all plays out. Like, you know, because Tiger's one of those guys, he doesn't commit to events until a couple weeks out at the earliest. And I'll be curious to see if, like, how he does at the British Open, whether that affects whether he comes or not. You know, if he plays poorly, does that mean he'll definitely play the next week? If he wins the British Open, does that mean he'll definitely play the next week? I don't know. It's going to be a fascinating subplot to all of this. And the other thing is, he tends to play courses he's familiar with.
Yes.
And like, he used to play, he played this old, when this event was at Firestone in Akron, like, that was a course he dominated. And obviously he's never really played TPC Southwind. So I hope he comes. You know, I think if he doesn't come this year, though, in future years, I'm told this event will be positioned better. It won't. Mm-hmm. It'll be in, like, the beginning of August, so it'll be another week removed from the British Open. So if he doesn't come this year, I do think eventually, over the next couple of years, unless he gets injured again, I do think we'll see him. But let's hope it's this year.
Mark, I got to put you on the spot. When this thing is all said and done, will Mike Miller and Penny Hardaway have the number one ranked recruiting class in the country?
I'm going to say no, but not because they don't get guys. I'm going to say no because I think other teams are going to get more guys too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to end up in the top three or five.
Okay.
But I think there's a lot of, there's, there's a lot of balls that are going to drop here in the late signing period that are going to, you know, I think like Duke and Kentucky are going to get more guys. And they, so that might mean they finish ahead of Memphis. Like right now, if they, you know, I know you, I've heard you guys talk about, like, if they get
Precious,
what is it, Lester and Precious, they move up to number one. But that's like as of right now,
correct,
you know? And like, I just, I feel like Kentucky and Duke and teams like that are going to get a couple more guys. Like UNC is going to get, it looks like they're going to get Cole Anthony, people seem to think. And, you know, they're probably the biggest threat for Precious, it sounds like. So, but I do think they're going to get multiple of these guys that they're going after right now. Like, I think they're going to have the class that we're sort of envisioning at this moment. It seems like, I mean, it just, there's too many, they're in on too many guys and trending well with too many guys to swing and miss on all of them. It's just not, I just can't see a scenario where they swing and miss on all these guys. And it seems more likely than not that they don't just get one, they get two and maybe three.
Yep, I think that
They mess around, get R.J. Hampton.
Yeah,
Lowe,
I think
Mark.
it's a fair way of putting.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I'll be interested to see. Like they're gonna have to hold the scholarship open for R.J. And I think they will. But that one we're gonna have. That's the other thing. Like we're not gonna know until August.
Right.
So it's a waiting game, but it's a fun waiting game.
It there is no question about it. Mark, always appreciate
thank you for this,
the
brother.
Time, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you, guys.
Yep, he is Mark Giannotto, sports columnist for the Commercial. And we didn't even get a chance to ask him about the unfortunate departure of Evan Olds. I know that was something that was bothering you late last night. You were kind of you couldn't even focus on, you know, the task at hand after you get that news that Evan Olds is no longer going to be with the
program. Saw where he informed the Commercial Appeal that he wouldn't be returning.
Yes.
Some parts of Tubby guy.
Salute. Salute to Evan Olds for sure. Thank you for your service. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Sleepy Z's Matched Us by Michael Zellner is where you know you're always going to save between 50 and 80% off mattresses and furniture. What we did, every mattress in our home has come from Sleepy Z's. Michael's got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. It's because of that time and that experience that he's had. And he's been voted Memphis Most Best Mattress Store for 4 years in a row. That is no accident.
Nope. And it's not going to stop anytime soon. It's called domination. And why wouldn't you dominate when you've got the best prices in town? And again, anything that you could ask for when it comes to sleep. He's an authorized Serta mattress, Simmons Beautyrest mattress dealer. They also sell and specialize over there at Sleepy Z's in the Serta Perfect Sleeper, the Serta Eye Comfort, the Beautyrest Silver and Platinum. They've also got the Beautyrest Black Line, too. So Michael's got you covered. You're going to sleep well. You're going to sleep even better when you know what you paid. Mentioned that you heard this on the Jason and John Show. Michael's going to give you an additional 10% off those already deeply discounted prices. They're located at 2790 Kirby Witten Road, at the corner of Summer Avenue, right next to Hollywood Feed, nestled right there in beautiful Bartlett. Or you can visit them online at SleepyZZZS.com. Again, SleepyZZZS.com. Sleepy Z's by Michael Zellner. Will you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed?
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. And as promised, his name is Matt Moore. He covers the NBA for the Action Network. Lots to get to. He joins us now. Matt, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time.
Hey, how are y'all?
Everything good, is man. Good. So a lot to get to here locally with the Memphis Grizzlies. Obviously, you're very familiar with the front office here, and you're familiar with sort of the pulse of the fan base, which has wanted blood from that front office for many years now. Your thoughts on the move that they made, which was reassigning Chris Wallace and promoting Jason Wexler and Zach Kleiman?
I think in all these decisions, it's always kind of important to think about, you know, fans always want change. And the question is, all right, you want change, and that's fine. You got rid of the person that you wanted gone. What comes next? That's always my question is how is it going to go when you have the replacement? So I think, you know, we don't know how this is going to go with Wexler. We don't know. We don't have track records. We don't really know how this is going to go. I think reassigning Hollander and Wallace was a good thing to keep the institutional knowledge around. There's been a lot of success recently with front offices that have built not necessarily such top-down structures, but more collective mindsets. The Warriors were kind of the first one, but a lot of these successful front offices have a lot of voices in the room, and you try and get as many smart people to make the best decision. That's actually yielded some really positive results. So I think that can be positive. We just don't have enough to really be able to say. And my continued question is, you know, they send Wallace out for the press conference, bring him back in, then he's gone, then JB's gone. These decisions seem to be, there's no real communication or structure, and that makes me nervous, I think, for their future.
Your opinion on Chris Wallace, Matt, you know, obviously he is a guy who, you know, was responsible for, you know, basically engineering the core four and helping put together some of the best teams in the history of the franchise. Was it time for him in your mind, or was he just, you know, a guy that was the face and he wasn't even really making the decisions anymore? Like, where were you on Chris Wallace?
I think he deserves a lot of credit for having put together the most successful run in franchise history and for putting pro basketball on the map in Memphis. It does get complicated because if you look back at the time, right, like when he added Zebo and Tony Allen to go along with Gasol and Conley for a lottery team, we were like, are you nuts? What are you doing? And then it, you know, worked out, and it was one of this really lovable, successful team, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. I think that there's always been a little bit of, like, talking to other front offices, they've always been a little bit confused about who's running what. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just been, like, a lot of confusion about who exactly is making decisions and who exactly is making the call. Wallace is respected, and he'll always be respected. He's been in the league a long time. But I think there continues to be this kind of question of who's actually making decisions, how much is para involved, and those are questions I don't have the answer to right now.
What kind of coach should they be after, Matt? Are we looking? I mean, they said Fizz obviously was a developer of talent. They put, you know, you put out the whole thing. Hey, this is, we're going to stick with him. This is his thing. This is what he does well. We're going to develop what we have. Is that what you're? Is that technically what we're looking for with the next guy? Do you want a guy that's more X's and O's when it comes to you and what you think this team needs in terms of a coach? What do you think, Matt?
I think they need somebody whose sense of the greater aspects of running a team are higher. One thing is, I don't think they need a player's coach. Mm-hmm. I don't think they need somebody that's like, oh, I run through a wall for that guy. Those stories are very easy to buy into. But the problem is, those guys also tend to be, because like Fizz is known to be like that. Mm-hmm. Those guys are also guys that tend to have conflicts with certain players. The guys that they love and who love them, it's awesome. The guys who they have problems with, it's more so. I think there are a lot of really good assistants that just understand the game and know what a team needs, that know about keeping a sense of you know, all the ideas of like togetherness and building team concepts, but also can do the X's and O's stuff. There are a lot of really good coaches. The first name I would be looking at is Chris Finch as an assistant with the New Orleans Pelicans. That would be the number one name on my list.
Really? What is it about him that you like?
So he was he worked under Houston's developmental team and was part of like the three-point revolution and got them to win a G League championship. Then he worked with the Rockets and was part of building the offense there. Then he went to Denver and was part of them forming one of a top five offense. Then he went to New Orleans and they made a huge jump. Like, consistently, offenses with Chris Finch around are pretty typically great, and he prides himself as a defensive coach. I covered him a little bit when he was in the G League, and just you got the sense that he has a really good kind of overall concept of what can work for a team. The ideas that he promotes in terms of using dribble handoffs and things like that in the modern NBA, especially with Jaren Jackson, I think work really well. He's the type of modern coach I think that would be a fresh start that doesn't bring any sort of baggage or, you know, too much egocentrism to the gig.
What about for the front office? The names out there, we've seen Rich Cho, a name like that. Do you like Rich? Do you have guys that you like? What do you think, Matt?
Rich is really well respected. I always liked Rich, and I think that what he did with Portland was really smart.
Uh-huh.
And then when you look at Charlotte, and everybody's like, well, you can't hire that guy. Like, he built the Charlotte team. And, like, I'm just here to tell you, that Charlotte team was one of the greatest disappointments relative to what they should have been that I've ever seen. Like, they just should have been better every single season. And he's like, yeah, but they weren't. Okay, but your entire job as a front office is to put the pieces in place. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's about the players and the coaches. And the players and the coaches, I think, had more issues. And really, the players had more issues there in Charlotte than I think that the structure did. He's analytically forward, which I think is important in the modern NBA. Yep. I think that's a really good look. I do think that there's going to be a number of really good names. Gerson Rosas, out of Houston, is a guy that's been around the league a long time and is now actively looking, is taking a lot of interviews. He'd be another really good hire. There's a lot of guys, I think, that can bring the kind of approach that you need. They just got to keep looking. Honestly, another one I would look at, even though, again, these people are going to blanch at the team, Tommy Shepard, who worked in Washington under Ernie Grunfeld, he's mm-hmm. very well respected. He's been in the league forever. Shepard would be another great hire.
We are, of course, talking to Matt Moore, who covers the NBA for the Action Network. And then last thing on the Grizzlies here, Matt, if you had to say, how should Grizzlies fans feel today? Should they feel good? Should they feel, uncertain? I mean, what's the right tone for Grizzlies fans as of today?
I would be nervous. That's what I would be. I would be nervous. You don't really know anything about the basketball acumen of the other folks running the team. Mm-hmm. You don't know who the coach is going to be. You don't know what Perra's vision for the team is. These decisions were not well received league-wide in terms of having them, Wallace, go out and do the interviews and then come in and get fired. Right. They've messed up a lot of trades. Like, the overall perception of the franchise league-wide is very low.
Yep.
I think that they need a lot of changes to get the kind of stuff to regain some credibility externally in the league and internally as well.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true.
Matt, real quick, and that matters, right? Because we just had Windhorst on, who, with all due respect, I mean, he's a GOAT when it comes to reporting on the NBA and being an insider, but his was almost – throw out perception. Don't worry about what the – but doesn't that matter? I mean, when you got Mike Conley out sort of, not sort of, criticizing the front office and saying no words and all that, the rest of the league and other players who one day you may want to pull in here, doesn't perception matter?
I think it does, especially when you're in a small market.
Yes.
You know, I think Brian's right that you have to focus on your internal stuff. I think it's you can't worry about optics. You have to actually get it right and then hope that the league notices
well,
and understands 100%
it. Well, that 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the kind of the difference. You got to make sure that you get it right, and that it projects and hope that it projects well. You can't control how the perception is going to be, but you do, I think, need to be aware of how the league views you, because that impacts things. Look, in Memphis, you're trying to get on the fringe value free agents, mm-hmm. and if you're a franchise and they're looking at two offers that are within the same range of money, and they're like, this organization is just known to be a lot better, that can hurt you. And those are the little margin areas, I think, where it matters.
Yeah, I said last Grizzlies question, but I just thought of when we were talking about Mike Conley. There has clearly been a change with him. He is no longer just happy to be in Memphis. This is a guy clearly who is confused, as everybody else is, about what the franchise is doing, what the team is going to look like. He said several times publicly now that he would like to compete. He would like to contend for a championship. Obviously, that just isn't going to happen here in Memphis. Do you think he gets dealt? Do you think he gets traded, or is this something that is, incumbent upon what happens with conveying the pick? Where are you on Mike Conley?
I think I'm nervous about – I would say that he should be dealt. Draft night should be it. That's it. Deadline, didn't get the offer you wanted. Okay, draft night, he's got to go. That's it. Go do him a solid. There will be enough teams that are going to want him. Go get him somewhere where he can go and that you can get a valuable asset in return. And there will be, I think, those opportunities. Even with the money, the perception on him is still so high, especially with coaches. Do I think he will? I don't know what the program is. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know what the platform is. And, those are things that I hope to find out in the coming months. But, as of right now, I think everything is so up in the air about mm-hmm. the direction of the franchise. There hasn't been we're rebuilding around Jaren. There hasn't been still want to win.
Yep.
Even if there have been those comments, I think you have to reassess those things in the summer and really look at where your roster is and yep. where you want to go and your financial situation as well.
Yeah, I think that's true. We are, of course, talking to Matt Moore, covers NBA for the Action Network. What is wrong with Oklahoma City? I mean, does Paul George have a torn shoulder? It just always feels like they're never as good as they should be, and I think we're sort of seeing that again.
I want to wait. I'm not willing to jump off yet. I've been on them all year. I'm waiting until they get back to OKC.
Yeah.
I don't want to overreact to these two. We're in the overreaction area of the playoffs, and
yep.
I get that. But if you told me Portland's going to take the first two, I would not have been surprised, especially when you look at the fact that, like, look, OKC's not a good shooting team. They're just not a good shooting team. But they haven't just shot badly. They've shot apocalyptically badly. Mm-hmm. Like, end of the world. Like, the court, like, the rim has vanished badly. And what happens when guys get back to home? The role players play better at home. So they're going to knock down some of those corner threes. They're going to make more shots. I'm not willing to bury them. Russ usually takes a hard look at himself after he has a bad game and responds. He doesn't always follow that up with another good one, but I expect a better performance in game three. I don't think Portland's that good. I want to wait. Now, if they fail, if they lose game three, game four, and they wind up losing in five, then sure, I think you've got to take a real look at the roster and realize you cannot function with Russell Westbrook with where he's at in his career without an elite shooter next to him and George. And that's going to take some tough decisions about Steven Adams and some of the guys they've developed. But that's maybe the reality. But I'm not willing to bail on OKC, even though everyone wants to after losing two games on the road in a playoff series to a higher seed when the other team was favored, mind you.
No, I'm with you on that. I'd actually picked OKC much like you, and I don't want to give up on that on my pick there. I do want to give Portland, though. I guess, don't we have to? I'm with you that, you know, I think there's a ceiling there of how far they can go. But, Matt, I thought they were dead when Nurkic went down. And I guess it's all a credit to them. But you've got McCollum playing well. You've got Damian Lillard well. I'm with you. I think there's a ceiling on how good they could be. But don't you got to give Portland a little bit of credit for the job they've done?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think the biggest thing is just, like, look, Damian Lillard is the best leader in the NBA right now. He just is. Like, he's the best leader in the NBA right now. His guys are ready to go every night. He makes the right plays. He supports them when they need it. He demands that they play well. He keeps them focused. He hits big shots. He steps up in the moments you need him to. He controls the pace of the game. Like, Damian Lillard's at the best play of his career right now. And
he's
guiding this team that isn't that good and making them look a lot better. He's making Enes Kanter playable, which is a miracle that's eventually going to get found out. Like, that's part of it, I will say, is like this. Everyone's like, oh, look at Enes Kanter. And I'm like, let's wait. Like, just let's wait, because I've seen him his whole career. I'm not willing to change my whole perception of him because of two games. Thanks.
Yep.
Look, CJ McCollum's really good. I think Mo Harkless and Alvaro Camino, all the guys are on the same page and they're playing well. I just think that they're eventually going to run into a team that's got a better matchup advantage, whether it's OKC or somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is good. We can admire what they've done, but also be kind of realistic about what their ceiling is.
Couldn't agree with you more.
No question. Matt, always appreciate the time, man.
Thank you for this, man.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Yep, he is Matt Moore with some strong words, obviously, there about the Memphis Grizzlies. And I think he's right. I think he's 100% right on everything he said. So appreciate his time, as always. We'll come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Landon's Auto Sales. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, that's exactly where you need to go. That was tax refund time. You're itching. That money's burning a hole through your pocket. Put it on a new down payment for a new car. Do it at Landers Auto Sales. They got it all. They got small SUVs, large SUVs, compact cars, luxury cars, trucks, vans. It's all down there waiting on you. Price starting at just $29.99. They got a highly trained, experienced staff on hand that's going to help you with purchasing service and accessories for your vehicle.
They got a lot of goals down there, but their number one goal is simple. That is to ensure that you, the customer, are satisfied. So go down there and see exactly what I'm talking about. They're located in South Haven on Goodman Road, or you can check them out on the web at LandersMemphis.com. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. Breaking news. Let me see here. Breaking news on 92.9, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Jason, you ever going to say that? In your life, you ever going
to
say that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do it for you.
Do it right now.
Well, I mean, with a please.
Please, man. Please.
Breaking news on 92.9, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class.
Wow, thanks, Jason.
What is it?
I feel like that's what you have to say after that. The AAF. Remember that? Remember the
AAF?
It's
coming back.
It is relaunching.
Stop.
I'm just kidding. It's not relaunching. It filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy.
Oh, damn.
In the filing, you thought it was really coming back.
No, I didn't.
The only thing that's coming back is the XFL.
Bill Polian said there's only room for one league.
That's right.
And that's the XFL.
That's right, clearly. In the filings, the league claims assets of $11.3 million and liabilities of $48.3 million.
Good grief.
So Johnny Manziel was right. That last check you got, going to be the last check you get. According to the documents, the league has $536,000 in cash, and that is it. So I don't think they're going to be able to make those payments.
That's like Singletary's salary.
Didn't
they get them all $500,000, most of those coaches?
Yeah, they paid way too much for the coaches. That's my opinion.
I think that hurt. That part of what killed them that first week.
I mean, you should have paid Singletary and Long John Silver's catfish, bro. Like, that's what he deserved for the job he did.
Did they not see this coming a year ago? Was this a big shock to them that they weren't going to have the money to pay what they needed to pay?
They thought they had everything. I talked about this. We bought it. They were selling it so good early on names.
They seemed to have their ish together.
Yeah, they did.
From our conversations with them.
I mean, when they appeared to have all their ducks on the line, you certainly didn't expect them to be in a position where they weren't, able to make payroll week one. You'd figure they've got all that accounted for. It was, then Dudden comes in and there've been, was he there to steal technology or not? I don't know. I know a lot of people lost a lot of money.
Correct.
This thing.
That is definitely true. So anyway, there you go. It's official. The AAF has filed for bankruptcy. Let's do that thing we do.
Here's what 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason, John, and Bennett are checking out tonight.
Well, I will probably have my eye on Jazz Rockets because I don't care about Pacers Celtics. I care about Thaddeus Young. Y'all know he's a friend of the show. But that series, Pistons Bucks, even worse. The Bucks shouldn't be there. The Pistons shouldn't be there, quite frankly. They should have let Charlotte in, let Kemba Walker have one last go at it with the Hornets.
Agreed.
Before he gets out of there. The reason I'm going to watch the Rockets is because I want to watch the MVP.
James Harden.
We haven't had this discussion, and there shouldn't be one.
Mm-hmm.
The time that Paul and damn near everybody else on that team was gone,
amazing.
What was he doing? He was carrying them back from being a bad team and at the bottom of the Western Conference standings to, yes, could have been the two, they're the four. But if not for him, you're not here at this point where you are. I don't get it. The numbers, you can put Giannis's next to Harden's. Harden leads his team in scoring, assists. What more do you want? The thing for me was what he did when everyone else is gone. When everyone knows all we got to do is stop James Harden, and all they could do was what? Not stop him. The guy was on fire.
Yeah.
Remember the streak?
Yeah.
He's the MVP.
No doubt. John, anything tonight for you?
The NBA games tonight are a little weak, like Jason said. I think the Pistons are done.
No doubt.
They ain't beating the Bucks, and the Pacers didn't look really good either, even though the Celtics, they were struggling coming into the playoffs, but I think they got that taken care of. I'd like to watch that Jazz-Rockets game, but you guys may – I think, John, you know this about me. I'm a big video gamer myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been playing this game called Apex Legends.
Well, welcome to, January, bro. Well,
listen, we still out there and we still playing it. Yesterday, they updated, did some weapon tweaks and some legend tweaks.
Okay.
So I'm going to check that out tonight.
You're going to be playing video games.
Playing
tonight.
Some video games.
Mills brings it all, man.
I remember those days.
He brings it all,
it's
man.
Fun.
Let me tell you what I'm going to be checking out, brother. Let me tell you what I'm going to be checking out, brother.
Oh, gosh.
Let me tell you what I'm going to be checking out, brother.
I already know because where your voice
I'm gonna
is going.
I'm
going
to be checking out Time Magazine. You know why?
If you smell what the rock is...
Because there's a new cover, brother.
Well, that's your night going out and buying the rock in Time.
He, meaning the rock, a.k.a. Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. better actor than Arnold Schwarzenegger, has been named onto the top 100 most influential list. I want to read you an excerpt here from... How do you say it? Is it Godot? How do you say her last name? Gal?
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. There is no one in Hollywood quite like Dwayne Johnson, and certainly very few who are as busy. Dwayne is someone who believes the sky is the limit and will go above and beyond to make sure he gives 100% every single day.
Yeah.
Whether he's at the gym, working with his charity, being with his family and friends, or working on a new project. And here's the kicker.
It's all about how he goes hard.
I feel like Gal was saying this for you. He is the true embodiment of the idea that people may forget what you said. People may forget what you did.
Yep.
But people will never. And the Rock means never forget.
This is ridiculous.
How you made them feel. Dwayne always makes sure people feel their best when he is around. If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
That was a lot of effort. He's a good guy. Didn't hear nothing about how great he is, an actor.
He just did. I mean, that's,
nothing. He makes people feel good, and he goes hard with everything
Gal
he does.
Gal said there is no one in Hollywood quite like Dwayne Johnson.
Is this his first time on the cover of Time?
I think it is. It's a big accomplishment for him and a big achievement, and you would try to diminish this achievement.
I sent it to you this morning. Arnold's been on Time at least three times.
One of them was with someone else, so that doesn't count. He's only had the cover by himself twice.
Even if you
want to
make it 2.5, brother. So you got a lot more you can accomplish there, Rock Man.
He's on his way. I'm gonna buy you a cover as well. I'm gonna buy you an edition of the magazine so you can have it for your home. Maybe CJ can, you know, have a guy like The Rock to look up to, a guy who gives us 100% every damn day. Because you know why? Rent's due every day.
I'll have it framed and give it back to you, and you can have him in both of your altars to him at your home.
I'm not gonna frame it, but I am gonna buy it. Because this is a big, I mean, to be named seriously to the 100 most influential people, that's a terrific achievement. But anyway, congratulations to the Rock. Big. I mean, again, I am sorry that I work with a guy who can't give you your props, even when they're deserved. Even when they're deserved, you attempt to diminish him and compare him to people who don't, frankly, even come close to touching what he does on a daily basis. But anyway, that's going to do it for us today. As always, the Jason and John Show is presented to you by The Wing Guru. Stop by if you're hungry. Thanks to our guests who joined us today, Ray John Tucker, Brian Windhorst, Mark Giannotto, and
Matt Moore.
Eric Hatzline's up next. Stick around. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.